Game plan. The world outside the cold steel bars of the jail felt almost alien as they escorted me towards the exit. I winced with every step, my body aching from the beating they had subjected me to during my 72-hour captivity. I could feel the weight of bruises and the sting of wounds hidden beneath my clothes. Once outside, they delivered their ominous warning, a reminder that I was to cease my investigative endeavors into the murky depths of their corrupt affairs. I made my way to retrieve my phone from the evidence lockup. The journey was laden with trepidation, the scars of my recent ordeal still fresh, etched into both body and soul. As I approached the stern-faced officer behind the counter, I requested access to my belongings, a sense of unease biting at me. The evidence lockup, a room cloaked in the sterile scent of legalities, was not a place I wished to revisit. The officer handed me a small plastic bag containing my phone, its once sleek surface now obscured by the fingerprint smudges of those who had handled it without care. The sight was a tangible reminder of the violation that had become a constant companion. I exited the precinct with my phone clutched in my hand, the weight of the shattered screen mirroring the cracks that marred my recent memories. Finding a quiet bench in the nearby park, I settled down to inspect the damage. The screen, once pristine, now bore a web of fractures that spoke of intentional destruction. My mind raced with unsettling possibilities. It was clear this was no random accident. Someone had deliberately shattered my lifeline to the outside world. The ominous warning from the officers replayed in my thoughts. I surveyed the broken device, contemplating the violation of my privacy. Whoever had tampered with it sought to send a message, a warning perhaps, or an attempt to hinder my pursuit of truth. The shattered screen stood as a testament to the forces working against me, urging me to reconsider the path I had chosen. Frustration mingled with determination as I pocketed the damaged phone. The journey home was a blur. I stumbled through the familiar streets of Havenstock, each step a painful reminder of the price I was paying for uncovering the truth. My apartment door opened with a creak, and I shuffled in, nursing my wounds and exhaustion. The weight of the investigation pressed heavily on my shoulders, and doubt crept into my mind like a persistent whisper. I collapsed onto the couch, clutching an ice pack to my swollen eye. The silence in the room was broken only by the distant sounds of the city outside. I reached for my phone, still on the charger, greeted by a series of unread messages and emails. Vincent's concern radiated through his messages, a lifeline tethering me to reality. He was worried, and a part of me felt a comfortable warmth in knowing someone cared. Craig's emails, however, bore the weight of deadlines missed and a professional relationship strained by my relentless pursuit of truth. Judy's decision to step back resonated within me the most. As I read their words, a sense of isolation settled in. The wounds on my body mirrored the scars on my soul. I questioned the worth of the story and the cost of justice, then weighed it against the toll on my well-being. Fingers trembling, I scrolled through the exchanges with Judy. The woman who had once been my ally now sought an escape, a sensible choice in the face of the overwhelming storm I had unleashed. For a moment, I found myself admiring her ability to step back from the maelstrom. In the solitude of my apartment, I grappled with the complexities of my journey. The investigation had consumed me, and the aftermath left me questioning the path I had chosen. The ice pack numbed the physical pain, but the scars ran deeper. They were etched into the very composition of my being. I stared at the ceiling, lost in contemplation. The city outside continued its relentless bustle, indifferent to the struggles within my four walls. The journey had taken a toll, and as I lay there, battered and weary, I wondered if the pursuit of justice was worth the personal cost. With my damaged phone in hand, I hesitated for a moment before dialing Vincent's number. The gravity of recent events pressed down on me, the weight of betrayal and violation nearly suffocating. Vincent's voice, usually a pillar of strength, crackled through the line.
"Jonay, where have you been? I've been trying to reach you."
I took a deep breath, the words catching in my throat as I recounted the harrowing experience at the precinct. The shattered screen seemed to amplify the vulnerability in my voice, each fracture mirroring the wounds that marred my spirit. Vincent's reaction was visceral, his anger palpable even through the phone.
"Those bastards! I can't believe they did this to you! I swear, I'll go down there and..."
"Vincent, hold on," I interrupted, feeling the urgency in his voice. "It's not that simple. We need to be strategic about this. If you just barge in there, they'll just tighten their grip." He sighed, the frustration unmistakable in his tone.
"How did they manage to break your phone like that? They're playing dirty, and we need to hit back."
I could sense the seething anger in his words, a reflection of the rage building within me.
"I don't know, Vincent, but we can't let this deter us. We need to expose their corruption no matter what it takes."
He paused for a moment, the weight of the situation sinking in.
"You're right. We can't back down, but we need to be careful. They're playing for keeps."
Vincent's resolve mirrored my own, a shared determination to confront the darkness that lurked within the precinct's walls. The broken phone, though a casualty of corruption, became a symbol of our resilience. The doorbell rang, interrupting the somber atmosphere within my apartment. I glanced at the shattered screen of my phone. Vincent's arrival was a beacon of solidarity, a trusted ally in the thunderstorm that raged against us. As I opened the door, Vincent's concerned gaze met mine.
"Jonay, are you okay?" he asked, his eyes scanning the room, undoubtedly taking in the remnants of the ordeal. I managed a weary smile. "Physically, I'll heal. Mentally, I'm still processing. Come in."
Vincent entered, his presence a comforting force amid the mess. We settled on the worn-out couch, surrounded by the scars of recent events. The shattered screen of my phone rested on the coffee table like a relic of defiance. Vincent's concern deepened as he took in the damage.
"They went after your phone like this? What's their game plan here?"
"They want to intimidate me, make me feel vulnerable," I explained, frustration simmering beneath my words.
"But we can't let them succeed. I've gathered enough evidence, Vincent. It's time to expose the corruption and bring justice to Havenstock."
Vincent nodded, his eyes reflecting a shared determination.
"We'll expose them, Jonay, but you need to prioritize your safety. Moving back to your real apartment might be a good idea."
I hesitated for a moment before nodding in agreement. "You're right. I've gathered what I need from the community. It's time to piece the story together and present it to the world. I also need to return to the office. Craig's been reaching out, and I can't keep avoiding him." His concern was evident.
Just promise me you'll be cautious, Jonay. We're playing a dangerous game, and I don't want to see you get hurt again.
I promise, Vincent, I assured him, appreciating the genuine concern in his eyes.
I won't let them break me. This is our chance to make a difference and expose the truth.
The battle was far from over, and the journey ahead promised more trials. But in the face of adversity, Vincent and I stood united, ready to confront the darkness that threatened to consume Havenstock. Reflecting on my tumultuous journey through the heart of Havenstock, I feel a resolute determination to expose the corruption that has festered within our community. The pieces of the puzzle are scattered across my experiences, interactions, and the damning evidence I've gathered. It's time to weave them into a narrative that will lay bare the truth, demanding accountability and justice. Exposé: Guardians or Oppressors? Peeling Back the Layers of Police Misconduct, by Jonay Bates. Amid the urban fabric where shadows lingered and whispers purred, a tale of corruption unfolded, a tale that remained entangled within the very threads of our community, a web of deceit woven by those sworn to protect and serve. Havenstock, a neighborhood that echoes with the laughter of children playing and the camaraderie of its residents, conceals a darker truth beneath its seemingly ordinary surface. As a journalist immersed in the heartbeat of this community, I have unearthed a web of lies, misconduct, and a palpable tension that poisons the relationship between law enforcement and the very citizens they are duty-bound to protect. The journey began innocently enough as I explored the vibrant streets, seeking stories that breathe life into the struggles and triumphs of Havenstock. However, beneath the veneer of community, a shadowy force manipulated the narrative, a force emanating from within the police precinct that loomed over the heart of Havenstock. Part 1. The Donovan Williams Incident. The first thread in this tapestry of corruption was woven on the night Donovan Williams met his tragic fate. A routine encounter with the police turned into a nightmare, as improper searches and excessive force marked the beginning of a pattern that would haunt the community. Contradictory reports, falsified evidence, and a media narrative that sought to bury the truth exposed the systemic rot within the department. Donovan Williams became more than a victim. He became a symbol of a community struggle against an oppressive force. Part 2. The Unraveling Fabric of Trust. As I delved deeper into the lives of Havenstock residents, the fabric of trust began to unravel. The stories of Barbara, Brandon, and countless others painted a harrowing picture of abuse of power, discrimination, and an insidious web of misconduct. Ambulances arriving promptly for some and delayed for others reflected a glaring disparity in the treatment of Havenstock citizens. Part 3. A Personal Tangle. My investigation took a personal turn when Officers Harris and Rodriguez crossed the line, making it clear that they would stop at nothing to protect the status quo. A confrontation at my home, threats, and a blatant attempt to silence me reinforced the notion that the corruption had grown too deep to be ignored. Part 4. An Unwelcome Dance with the System. A routine traffic stop thrust me into a dark dance with the system. A dance where the beat of injustice reverberated with every shattered glass, every bruise inflicted. My arrest, under false pretenses, highlighted the lengths to which those empowered would go to maintain control,
using fear as a weapon against anyone who dared challenge the established order. Conclusion: breaking the chains. The stories woven into the fabric of Havenstock are not isolated incidents, but symptoms of a deeply entrenched malaise. My journey through these chapters is a call to action, a plea for the community to unite against the forces that seek to keep them entangled in a web of oppression. The time has come to break free from the chains of corruption, to expose the shadows that lurk within the heart of Havenstock. This expose is not just a collection of words. It is a testament to the resilience of a community that refuses to be silenced, a community ready to reclaim its narrative and demand the justice it deserves. The echoes of change are now louder than ever, and as this expose reaches the world, we stand at the precipice of a new dawn for Havenstock. The shadows will dissipate, and in their place, the light of truth will illuminate the path to a better future. Joan A. Bates, journalist and advocate.